Direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey for your ear holes. I totally forgot the line.
For your ear holes?
I know. In.
For your in. Ear holes?
In.
That has to stay now. We can't get that out.
Redo. We just started. We can fix it.
No, take forget two. It. Own it. No,
just kidding.
Just own it.
That's it. That's how we start the show.
We're not changing things.
You have to own up to your mistakes, Justine.
Mm-hmm.
Right before it, I was like, what is the
Jake,
line?
What are you talking about? She owned up to me.
Whoa.
No. Self-burn.
You might as well do it before she does it.
Exactly.
That's true.
You less can't painful hurt me of, yep. if I hurt myself first. Just
commit seppuku just to avoid avoid capture. Yeah. What do you got there? You got a little rig set up. You got a little tablet set up in front of you. What do you got going on there?
I'm just doodling again.
Are you going to draw during the show?
Does that upset you?
No, it's fine.
It keeps me focused and keeps me from running my mouth.
This is why people can't show you love. This is why people. This is it. Is this why, Justine? You look over. He's just staring at his tablet.
At home, I look over and he's playing video games with the boys. So yeah. It's like the same thing, just a bigger screen.
Video games with the boys.
Oh, he's doing that still without me. That doesn't hurt me.
You're never around.
I like to ghost online.
Mm. Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I know you on that offline.
Mm-hmm. I'm in offline mode, just ranking up on the old Call of Duty. I don't play Rainbow Six, and that's all you guys play.
That's what Tactical Monday is about, though.
You guys have a thing called Tactical Monday?
Yeah.
We go really hardcore.
Yeah.
I thought you guys played Fortnite.
No.
You guys play Fortnite? I'm sorry.
I thought you guys did.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's all right. Yeah. It's something to do.
Yeah.
Why are you sorry? Because
like, it's okay.
They Jake's like what they like.
I know.
Can't be mad at them for that.
I can be.
He is, no matter what.
It's Battle Royale. It's a video game.
I know, but it's PUBG's better.
What is it?
PUBG, Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah, why don't you play that?
Because it costs money.
Oh, no.
And Fortnite's free.
Yeah, you
know. That's
the reason.
I'm not a dirty desktop player.
Oh.
Except I am.
Except you literally are. You literally are now.
My bad.
I could not be less interested in this conversation. So.
You started it.
I know,
you
I'm
literally
kidding.
Started the conversation.
She brought us down this damn hole.
I'm boring myself.
I get you guys going and then I just tune out. Yeah. And I'm bored.
Who started this conversation?
I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome. What is this?
That's for the little
scanner
thing.
Oh.
Register scanner.
It's like
oh,
a okay. seat.
Yeah.
Looks like H.R. Giger design right there.
Giger?
Something out of
Giger?
Something out of Alien. Guys, we had to watch three movies.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. It's Jake here, Patrick here,
your
Justine here. Renee's on the boards today.
Yay.
How you doing, Renee?
I'm doing good.
You're looking good, man.
Thank you.
How's your GF?
Good. I'm going to see her this weekend.
Yes. Aww, what are we doing? Black cute. Panther?
We're going to watch Black Panther, and we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Are you really? Are you really watching Black Panther the whole time?
Oh, she's yeah. Gonna, oh, I will be.
Yeah.
Oh. I will be.
You haven't seen Black Panther yet?
She's no, gonna, I've seen it.
What is she going to be doing?
He's going to show her a move.
I don't care what she does.
Black
I'm
going to
watch Black Panther.
Hey. Hey.
She can do whatever she wants. I'm just watching Black Panther.
I got to see it again for a second time. A friend of the show, and she's been on the show before, our friend Carly. Mm-hmm. She was actually post-production coordinator on it. So
wow.
She graduated oh, wow, up from yeah. her role as a production assistant on Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We had her on right after Guardians of the Galaxy That's 2 awesome. Came out.
I think you mentioned that.
She's going to be on again. She wants to be on soon, but she was really pushing. She said, I listened to the podcast. This better be number one after you see it again. And guess what, Carly? Black Panther has moved into my number one Marvel movie spot. Because watching it again, I was just like, so it holds up the second time.
I got to watch it a second time.
Really good, man. Really
it's
good.
It's number two for me still, but I got to see it a second time.
I don't remember my ratings.
Michael B. Jordan, dude.
He is a good villain.
He's
me.
A great villain.
He's a good villain. Right? I really liked it.
You know what line I didn't soldier? Catch the first time? When Claw is when he's got Claw and he's about to take him out and he says, "Mercy, mercy," and then mm-hmm. Black Panther says,
"Spoilers, by the way."
Well, it's 2 weeks in and it's made $700 billion. So
right,
everybody's seen it.
Everybody has
he
seen
says,
it. Money's there.
every breath you take is a mercy for me. I was like, what? I'm going to start using that on the podcast. It's going to be fantastic.
I didn't notice that. Either.
Yeah. Actually. Good. Go see it. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
I'm going to see it again.
You'll love it. Great.
Love fantastic.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Coco's out on DVD as of yesterday. Go get it. Support the brown people, Coco. Too.
I got to buy that now, too.
Support the brown people.
Te quieres, Coco.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to cry three more times, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was literally driving to work listening to it because I was just had it playing on my phone. And I was crying while I was driving.
Yeah.
There you go. Remember me. Yeah.
He sings that to Justine every day before the show.
And she's still heartless and shows no emotion about it.
And wasn't it great without the Frozen short?
Oh, yeah. My God. It wasn't even included either.
It's not included on there.
It's not included, which was
really
nice.
What was the point
of
that Frozen thing?
I'll tell you what. All the extras on the DVD are awesome. They show how they went down to Pixar. How Pixar went down to Oaxaca.
Bless you.
Took sketches everywhere. You're welcome. And...
The only thing I didn't like about the digital version is it didn't give me the option to watch it in Spanish.
I believe that is on the DVD. I haven't checked
that's
yet.
That's why I think I have to buy the DVD, because I still want to watch it in Spanish.
I'll let you know.
I haven't watched Spanish songs, because
that'd be great.
The soundtrack is much better in Spanish.
I know.
God, it came out really fast.
Yeah, because they want to make that money.
Yeah. Capitalize on that money.
Well,
yeah,
everything's
been doing that.
Thor comes out next week, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ragnarok.
Why do I even have to go to the theater then?
Because you want to see that in all its glory.
Yeah.
Watching Black Panther again, I was like, this movie looks awesome on the big screen. Although, not seeing it in Dolby the second time in Dolby Atmos, That when we saw it at the Dolby Theater, that thing looked like I was watching
Atmos
a giant 4K TV.
Yeah.
That's the only way to watch it.
Hey,
I can't look at anything else.
I wonder if it's better in 3D, though.
No, God,
it's never better in 3D.
Nothing you know what's funny? It was that when after Thor Ragnarok came out, everyone was all like Marvel haters were saying that, like, oh, this is what Marvel is now. They're just going to make every movie like Guardians of the Galaxy. Just funny. And then Black Panther came out. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm. There you go. Like, you can suck it. And every time I think I'm done with the superhero genre, Marvel throws something at me where I'm like, okay, I'm not done with it. Yeah. Now I'm excited about it again.
More.
I'm pumped. Mm-hmm. I just rewatched Ant-Man again. Now I want to see Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
So good.
God, so I love Ant-Man.
Right? Mm-hmm. Underrated. That movie does not get enough love.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't.
That's a great movie.
It doesn't. And it could have been a disaster.
And that's why it was in my top five, too.
Changed directors. It could have been bad, but it was. I watched it again. It's funny. Mm-hmm. And funny, genuinely funny, like character-driven funny. And, you know, it fits into the bigger story, but it's also kind of a nice little standalone.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, that final scene when they're on the train set.
Yeah.
So ridiculous, but it's so funny. Mm-hmm. So good. And you get, a lot of the side characters are also funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Black Panther the Black Panther can't be funny, really. Mm-hmm. You can't really make him the butt of the jokes.
Yeah.
So, because he's a king.
He is. Yeah. He's
king
supposed
of
to be
Wakanda.
Serious.
But, look what they did with Thor Ragnarok, where they kind of made it.
Well, Thor makes sense to make him funny as a character.
Because he's arrogant.
Yeah.
He's arrogant.
Same thing with Loki, too.
Yeah.
And then Hulk as well, too. Like, you have to make kind of Hulk a little
bit
humorous,
one.
Which was good.
That's
they
a
did
good
it.
One.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back. Let's jump in let's get in our little time machines. Right? We're going to go back to the year. The first movie we watched was a little movie we like to call Casablanca.
No.
Starring.
Why wouldn't we go Mighty Joe Young first?
Because it was Casablanca, then Mighty Joe Young.
Do we have to talk about him in chronological order?
What do you want to talk about first?
I would like to talk about Mighty Joe Young first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Singing in the Rain.
Let's do chronologically,
then Casablanca.
Though.
Okay, we talked about Mighty Joe Young.
Yes.
So Mighty Joe Young is a 1949 film, mm-hmm. and it is a co-production. The two people working on it together was Willis O'Brien, who did all the effects for the original King Kong,
mm-hmm.
working with the person who later on took up the mantle of stop motion and brought it into the modern, kind of the more modern movies.
And he wasn't credited in the movie, right?
Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Right. He wasn't credited in the movie.
No, but they are working together. They are working together.
I noticed that.
I read
that in the trivia.
Because I think if the story's right, I think after King Kong came out, Ray Harryhausen actually sought out Willis O'Brien and they became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentored him.
Yeah.
So this is the first movie they're kind of working together. It is a very King Kong story.
Yes.
Yes.
To the point where Even the guy who plays, I can't think of his name now, Carl Denham.
Yeah.
Is the same, basically the same role. I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to find a show and we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring back some animals for our new nightclub we're going to open in LA.
Right.
So instead of, they move it from LA, from New York to LA. Mm-hmm. But it opens in Africa. And so what did you guys think of it? Had you guys seen the remake with, I think Bill Paxton's in it.
I've seen the remake.
Yes.
Okay.
Disney remake.
Completely different feel between this and the remake.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't remember this in the other one.
Yeah, this is different.
I could have sworn this is something totally different.
I knew it was going to be interesting just by the way it opened with that little girl selling off her daddy's flashlight.
Dad's flashlight.
Those are expensive.
Go ahead. She put me off right away. I was like, that didn't feel good.
Her expressing her feelings just cracked me up.
It's very 1940s.
I shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. And as she's just stopped, I'm like, is everyone just staring at her while she's talking? This is the most awkward thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was tough to watch.
This one gets a 7 on IMDb. It gets a 7. Let me read the synopsis. We'll take a page out of the old
home video hustle.
Oops! I accidentally hit King Kong. I pushed the wrong button there.
The better gorilla movie. Okay.
It's not bad. Let me tell you this.
It's not bad.
Here's a little trivia about the reason I own this movie. It was a favorite of my dad's. My dad loved this movie, so I had never seen it until I was probably a teenager, and it was fine. I love anything with stop motion in it. I'm a sucker for it. So it's directed by Ernest B. Chodosak, who was actually the director of King Kong. Mm-hmm. A young woman who has raised a giant gorilla from an infant brings him to Hollywood years later, seeking her fortune in order to save her family's ranch. So that is the plot.
Which was not true at all, because she didn't leave. She just left because she left. She didn't leave.
Yeah, I don't think the ranch. I don't think they go into that.
I don't think they watched the movie.
He just said that. Oh, you want to be rich? You want to be famous? Here, come to Hollywood, kid. Here.
Yeah, that was the only reason she left. She didn't leave to save the ranch.
Say, kid. That's, you could get away with a lot back then. You just said say.
There's things I liked about it. I appreciate its historical significance with mm-hmm. Getting Ray Harryhausen started in stop motion. It was really cool to see where it started, and a lot of the effects were really different and cool.
They're actually really pretty good
for what time was really interesting. But I mean, overall, it didn't wow me. I wasn't like engrossed in the story. It's more, I was more interested in the way they did it than the actual story itself.
Yeah, it's weird because they basically just. And you have to remember, this is a time when it's like people would probably remember King Kong, and it had probably been re-released, but it wasn't something that was like you could see it on TV yet.
Yeah,
because it's 1949, so they figured we'll just do this plot again, and it's like a whole new generations of kids.
It's almost
who don't know, but it's pretty much the same story. What did you guys do? But I think it's always amazing that Willis O'Brien and Ray Harryhausen are always able to get so much emotion out of stop motion characters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily look real, but they get you. They have, you can see
they have empathy.
They have emotion and stuff like that.
The gorilla didn't blink. It drove me crazy.
He didn't. I don't remember.
No, never.
Not really.
No. Does he roll his eyes a lot? They all roll their eyes.
They roll his eyes a lot.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, this bitch.
Yeah. Oh god.
He's making that face the whole time, but it was interesting.
Did you cry?
No.
No.
Do you like the song Beautiful Dreamer now?
No.
Okay. Okay, what did you think, my friend, Justine?
I mean, I only knew because you looked at me.
I was looking at you, but I'm also reading something online here. But
oh, uh-huh.
It was good. I didn't like the little girl. And I was glad that was over with and she grew up.
In like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was like, thank God. I could not keep watching her. It was good. I didn't realize how much I cared for animals after watching that. Because I was like, oh, they just threw this lion at this table. Because you can see when it's a real lion.
Oh, no, I felt so bad for these
some of them, they actually pushed towards like a table. And I'm like, what? I was like, why did we have these lions? They're so horrible, guys. And then I read that they taught the lions how to walk back and forth, and then one of them went out, I guess, and started lunging himself towards one of the people that worked there. So then the producer stepped in and stopped him from like going to his throat or something.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was a good.
It's very short.
All the bloopers was, bothered
is
me.
A good as in yeah, it was okay.
It is
good.
A good.
It's a good. It's a but good. The one part that bothered me the most was the end when she's throwing him the banana, like when they're showing the video God. Of them from the back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
At the very end, and they're waving. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She throws the banana at the gorilla at Joe, and he catches one, but you still see the banana fly past him.
Oh
in
yeah,
the
yeah,
scene,
yeah.
And you're like, what? Are we just pretending this didn't?
They're just gonna leave it there. They're just gonna leave it there.
It was really bad.
What about you? What about you?
It was a weird wave.
Jake,
yeah, she's like, bye.
Yeah, yeah. Doing just the up and down.
Is this how they did it slow too, though?
Yeah. Oh, but it was really cheesy. I did like the stop motion though. I mean, yeah. For the time, that must have been amazing. But you could obviously see the parts where they like spliced the film together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The show where they overlaid it to make it seem like it was on the same frame. But you can see that there was like a rope, and then you saw the rope in the like in the first
yeah,
frame
yeah, yeah.
there. So they looked like they weren't matching up at all, but. I thought it was really cool to see that. I mean,
kick the hell out of the table. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Story felt, yeah, it was kind of short, straightforward. Not anything to write home about story wise, but it.
Did you love the? I liked the layout of the Hollywood nightclub. I wish they would
that
make
was,
that,
yeah,
that
was
nightclub.
Cool.
That was fun.
The set design was cool, and I loved all how. Which was the most handsome of the guys that he had the tug of war with?
I was just gonna say, I'm like, those are all actual.
Second to last.
Yeah, those are all actual like
they're
wrestlers.
They're all actual wrestlers.
Big
yeah.
Chrome dome.
Yeah, those are all actual real wrestler guys.
And I guess there's a part in the scene where they already bend it, and they go back to them, and it's not bent anymore.
Oh, yeah, because they're all showing
yeah,
how they...
Yeah, they just show, like, an old clip again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's like, and everything's fine. The chains are still around the guy's neck. Like, everything's perfectly fine.
But did you really root for Joe when he was saving those kids out of the burning hospital?
That was,
or
like...
the burning orphanage.
That
like,
probably
what
was
is happening?
The worst part of that whole movie. Just that way they cut that scene and everything yeah. was not... enjoyable. The rest of the movie, for the most part, I was like, okay, even though it's stop motion, I can feel, you know, yeah. what
do you
going
not
for.
Like stop motion or you
I love stop motion.
Okay,
it's just that last scene where
so
he's saving the kids,
so out of
it just felt weird, like, oh hey, we're just trying to run away, but shit, there's a burning building,
yeah,
we
oh
have
shit
to
there's
stop.
A burning orphanage, we gotta yeah. save the children.
It was exactly like that. You saw it in
save
the newsreel
the
and they're just like, we have to stop.
I really hate their claymation people. Because they bend in ways that aren't real. Like, they're like, it hurts me seeing it.
Yeah. That's always really tough because you have to, and again, at the time, like,
it's
when
overt.
They do it in King Kong, like, you'll see the dinosaur grab, like, it's a blue screen of the yeah. guys, and the dinosaur grab the guy, and then you can tell it's a little claymation guy.
It's just over-animated.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're just bending in ways that just don't make
well,
any
Well, they kind
sense.
Of have to compensate for the fact that it's a non-expressive piece of play.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about, for whatever reason, when I was driving to pick up Renee, I was thinking about the movie Terminator 2. It just popped in my head. I was thinking Terminator 2, and I just thought, I remember... We thought that looked real, like when he was liquid
right?
metal and everything. You look at it now, it looks so cheesy. Like,
no, but it looked really good.
It looked really good yeah. at the end of the day. So mm-hmm. think about that.
Yeah, like, and that's why I appreciate the movie.
Yeah.
It's just that one orphanage scene to me just
yeah,
felt
yeah.
so out of place
and
for the whole theme.
That was in color, right?
No.
It was laid over with a red film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they didn't have color.
They would do that in the silent era a lot. If something took place at night, they would put like a blue filter.
Oh.
And so it was
I was very confused when I
yeah,
watched that.
Yeah, it's kind of just a way to evoke like a certain mood. Or
oh,
like,
I knew what was going on.
Oh, he knew what was
fire.
Going.
I, obviously, without red light.
It's hot.
Who did fire? Oh, John, you're not here. We miss you.
Yeah. And somebody brought this up when we were walking to Starbucks. John always seems to not show up when we talk about movies.
Yeah. Well, because Casablanca, he could go on for like, we could do... 2 hours on Casablanca with everything that John knows about.
Yeah, he
it.
Loves Casablanca.
It's one of my favorites. So what did you guys give the great Mighty Joe Young?
Six.
It's about a six?
Yeah, about a six.
Five?
Like a six, six and a half.
I'm yeah. going to give it a seven just because of the sentimental value it has. Yeah. My dad loved it, and so you know I loved it because he loved it. But I just try to imagine my dad because that movie would have come out when my dad was like 18. So like he would. I don't know why it's weird that he wasn't a little kid. He was a little kid when he saw King Kong, so maybe he just had an affinity for giant ape
monkeys.
But it's what's funny. The only thing that's weird about Mighty Joe Young is, and they never really refer. He's bigger than a normal gorilla.
Yes, he's bigger than a normal gorilla.
I was very confused.
But he's not as big as King Kong.
That was weird to me.
But they don't ever really acknowledge the fact that he's like an abnormally sized gorilla.
And the fact that they use a lion's roar for his
voice. Well, that was from that's a recycled King Kong noise.
Yeah, and then they also said that if you were to actually watch the movie, his size keeps changing with the way that they did the claymation. They didn't do the scaling right on a lot of the shots, so it keeps changing through the movie.
Stop motion.
Stop motion.
You know, it's close.
It's
two different.
I will say the sounds I thought were really funny for Joe.
And then he roars like a lion.
And he does, it's like a backwards lion roar. It's a good movie. I'm going to watch it again.
Oh, and also when he got drunk.
Oh, that's right.
The monkey gets drunk.
That's right.
It seemed like Dumbo.
It was just pretty
good. Dumbo drinks wine.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, it might be around the same time. Why do I have your phone?
I was just waiting for you to figure out that's not your phone.
Look at my cool samurai wallpaper. What did you want to do next? You want to do
Singing in the Rain.
You want to do Casablanca last.
Yeah, end it big.
Casablanca. All right.
Okay.
You can probably guess the reason
I want to save Singing in the Rain for last.
Nope, we already overpowered you. 2-1.
I am the host, so I'm just kidding. We can do a Singing in the Rain. We can do Casablanca last.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chronologically, Singing in the Rain is the last film of this group.
Yes.
It's 1952. This gets an 8.3 on IMDb, but a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good.
Wow.
One of my all-time favorite movies, one of my daughter's all-time favorite movies. I have actually seen this in theaters twice because of my daughter. I've taken her twice to see it on the big screen. If you get a chance,
I really want to
go see it. And I don't like musicals, and I love this movie.
You don't have to.
I love this movie because it's as much of a history of Hollywood about it. So the story. Let's read what it says on our synopsis.
Are Disney cartoons considered a musical?
They are musicals, but I don't.
Kind of.
But
do
I
consider it a musical?
They're musicals, but they're animated, so
it
kind of covers two bases. I like those. Like, cartoon musicals are fine because it doesn't seem out of place when people in a cartoon start singing.
Because it's a cartoon, it's okay.
Singing in the Rain is a 1952 musical romantic comedy film directed by and choreographed by Gene Kelly and Stanley Donen, starring Kelly, Donald O'Connor, and Debbie Reynolds. Or as my mom would say, La Debbie Reynolds. It offers a lighthearted depiction of Hollywood in the late 20s with the three stars portraying performers caught up in the transition from silent film to talkies.
I felt so bad watching it with Patrick.
Why?
I was giving him all the trivia on it, and I just would not I realized I wouldn't shut up, and I wouldn't let him just watch it. I had to tell him about every single thing.
So did you know, do you read the trivia on this stuff? Do you go back? Oh, perfect. Go. So,
you want to know about
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, so that's what's cool about Amazon Prime is when you watch it on there, you click on the screen, it gives you trivia.
The X-ray,
I read all the trivia right after.
I've seen this several times. And I'm still finding out stuff I didn't know because of her.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
Crazy.
So if you've never seen it, this is pretty much, you've seen clips of this even if you think you've never seen the movie.
That's like Casablanca, too. You've seen clips of it even if you've
The most famous clip is, of course, Gene Kelly actually singing in the rain.
Yes.
Which.
He was sick on that show.
That's right. He had a fever. Mm-hmm. He had a cold and a fever. Mm-hmm. Which, though, if you look at it as a musical number compared to everything else in the movie, is probably the most simple thing in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very complex, but it's just very, it conveys a lot of emotion. It's a great song and staged really, really well.
Gene Kelly, man.
So you guys have all seen this before.
I've seen this.
Jake, this is a favorite of yours.
Many times.
I love it.
It's a great movie.
Justine, how many times have you seen it?
My second time.
And what did you think?
Oh, I like it.
You like it?
Yes, I like it a lot.
You like it a lot.
I like it.
What do you
a
like
lot.
It? What do you like it the best?
I think it was a lot better because then I saw La La Land and I hated La La Land after watching it. I was like, wow, so Singing in the Rain is a lot better.
Well, it is pretty. It's considered the best Hollywood musical by a lot of people.
Yes.
And he was really hard on everyone too. So
yes,
he was just doing everything and hard on all of the dancers.
He made Debbie Reynolds cry because she wasn't really a professional dancer.
And
she
was not. He made her a professional
dancer. Well, Donald O'Connor would be called. He was like the actors at that time. They had come. A lot of them would come from vaudeville, but they knew how to they knew how to tap dance and stuff. But they didn't. They weren't like ballet. Like
him Gene too. Kelly, yeah. He was hospitalized for 3 days after doing Make 'Em Laugh.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so he knew how to dance. He could keep up, but you can tell he's not as polished as Gene. Gene Kelly was a professional dancer.
But that's kind of his style. He's a little bit more like rough around the mm-hmm. edges, but he makes up for it with his personality and kind of like makes like a funny take.
Well, O'Connor, so he mentioned that he didn't like Gene Kelly at first because he thought he was a tyrant. And he was also scared to get yelled at by him because he yelled at a lot of them mm-hmm. and they would all cry. He just had a lot of people on set crying because mm-hmm. he was so mean to them. So for Debbie Reynolds, he made her cry once. And then after that, he sent O'Connor to be the whipping boy and to keep having him talk to her about how she was doing horrible on certain parts.
Wow.
And then she didn't know that until she was older. So like years later, she found out that that's what Gene Kelly did.
Did they find the story about, did you find the story about Fred Astaire? Mm-hmm. How Fred Astaire, she was crying after she was.
Oh yeah, he came in, she was like under the piano crying.
And he came in and was like, he worked with her on some of the stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But yeah, she was actually like, he found her crying and was like, what's wrong? And she's like, I can't get these moves down and I need to have these. He's like, okay, let's work on it. So but Gene Kelly being a taskmaster, you know, but there's a reason this movie's 7 years old and we're still talking about it.
And that's what she said too. She was like, in the end, I get why he was doing that. Yeah. So hard on us.
Yeah. And it's up there. It's all up there. And I think he worked as hard as anybody else. You would have to say that too, especially on the last scene.
Oh yeah,
scene,
you can tell he
the last sequence
went mm-hmm. ham.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think she didn't know how to dance at all and then 3 months and then they filmed.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Because she, just the dance where they're doing Good Morning with the three of them.
Oh, it's
that so looks like, and they all have so to be coordinated and up and down the stairs.
In time.
So when they, all three of them fall on the couch, it took 40 takes.
Wow.
To get it right. Just them falling on the couch.
40 takes.
Think about that. See, you don't want to watch this with me. I read too much on the movie.
What is your favorite musical number? Patrick. What is your favorite
musical number?
Or what's your favorite number from the and dance, you know, the whole sequence. What's your favorite sequence?
I really don't have a favorite in particular. I enjoy all of it, but I don't have a particular favorite.
No. Justine?
That's such a parent answer.
What's your favorite?
All of them are my favorite. Good Morning.
You like Good Morning? Jake?
It's a classic. Moses Supposes?
Yeah, that'd be my favorite too.
That one's a good one too.
Just because that looks like you know, a lot of times when you think of it like, hey, I'm a dude, I don't watch dancing. You know what I mean? I don't want to watch ice dancing or anything like that. But you watch that and you're like, dude, those guys are moving like, that is hard. Yeah. Like, you just see the athleticism of it and you see like the coordination it takes. And it's like, I could never do that, no matter how long I practice or do that.
Nope. Yeah.
And you just know they were exhausted.
It's also you see Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly, you see their dancing style like highlighted in that
because
they're literally right next to each other and you're seeing how Gene Kelly is a perfectionist and how he does everything with like an ease, just like he's just so graceful and like it's totally effortless, and then how Donald O'Connor always kind of puts his comedic spin on everything.
But it's perfect because it fits his character. It fits his character, so it.
I actually think Donald O'Connor is a better dancer than
you think
Kelly.
So?
Mm.
Yeah, because if you watch them and how tight Donald O'Connor is on his moves, is a lot better than
I'll bet
Gene
you,
Kelly. But it's also his expressions aren't as strong as Donald O'Connor's expressions.
Yeah, Gene Kelly goes more for the effort, like weightless.
Yeah, when you watch him, it looks effortless. When I see Gene Kelly, it looks like he's trying to keep up with this younger kid.
Let's talk about my favorite scene in the movie. I'm just kidding. But let's talk about that whole sequence at the end where Gene Kelly's just like, look, guys, I'm going to give you 10 minutes of like some actual dancing and not just like tap dancing and stuff. And he does that whole thing, has that thing with Sid Charisse where she comes out. It's her only part in the movie. She's the gangster's girlfriend at the end.
They made her smoke and she smoked that. And she said that was the last time she ever smoked because she hated it that much.
That was crazy. Mm-hmm. But that was great. That was such a great sequence. Like that whole number. And you're just like, how do you move like that? Not only that, but how do you film something like that? Like the coordination it takes to put that on the screen. And I don't know. This movie always blows me away just because from a technical standpoint. And then also as a bonus, you're getting this whole insight into what Hollywood was like. And everybody that was involved said that's exactly what it was like. People were freaking out. Careers were ended.
Yeah.
And then.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
What?
What's up?
Go ahead.
Okay, so the writers from that movie, they bought a house, and that house was owned by a silent actor that lost everything, basically. And because of that story, they wrote the story off of that.
All the things I heard.
Very nice.
And then when they were doing the mic stuff for it, how they had to hide it in like the bush and put it on that little flower thing. Yeah. I guess they had a mic on Debbie Reynolds. And Debbie Reynolds, you can actually hear her heartbeat, so they had to like move the mic again her. So the same thing with like the pearls and the breathing, the heartbeat, it happened to Debbie Reynolds.
That's really funny. I love, but you saw some of that in Frankenstein in the Invisible Man where they're standing like in front of flower some pots random. And everything, and it's like right after the original the song was originally used in a 1929 MGM short. And they sang the song Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. And one of the people that is in there is Buster Keaton, and he's not singing. Everybody else is singing, and he's not singing. Like, that was his thing because he was a silent, he was, you know, one of the most famous silent comedians. But he was in that. But a similar story happened where he lost, he had a hard time making the transition to sound, and they stuck him with like Jimmy Durante. And he just got so depressed that they wouldn't let him do what he did because he had total creative freedom when he was silent. Mm-hmm. He came under contract to MGM, and then he became a drunk. He alcoholism and kind of lost his career for about 20 years. James Mason, who is going to turn up in a movie we're going to watch very soon, James Mason bought his old house. He had like this huge like Italian villa in Hollywood, and found there was like a secret room, and he found all of Buster Keaton's old movies and gave them back to him.
Aww.
And they were able to, those are the ones they used to preserve later on. Yeah, he found them in like a room that Buster Keaton had just left them there. And they were all these prints, like original prints of his movies.
That's really good.
And they were able to save them and strike, like now, like all the videos and stuff they make are all from, I think, those prints. Yeah.
So, funny fact. So
I love it.
Donald O'Connor, when he did the Make 'em Laugh part, he filmed all of it. He was hospitalized for 3 times. At the end of like when he filmed it and everyone applauded him, they're like, oh, you should do it again. He's like, yeah, sure. Next time, like whatever. Ask me next time and I'll do it for you. And there was actually a fire that burned through all of the original footage of it. So he had to do it again when he came back.
Oh no.
So he filmed it all over again.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Look at you.
Make them laugh.
Can't take it.
There's so many. Everybody is good in the movie.
It's not a bad egg.
There's not a. Everybody's. I forgot the actress's name. It's going to kill me.
Who?
The girl who plays the.
Jean Hagen.
She's so obnoxious, but so good.
She's so good at being obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Oh. What's wrong?
Fact?
Yes.
Dance, Deanna.
So the part when Reynolds is dubbing.
Yes.
When she's dubbing her, that's Jean Hagen's actual voice. So Jean Hagen is dubbing Debbie Reynolds dubbing her.
Wow. That's crazy.
So she was doing a movie before that movie was on set, and she had to do a Valley Girl voice for that movie, and she decided to use that voice for that movie and be that girl.
That's
again.
So funny.
Look, and it was the only time she was Oscar nominated. It was for that film.
Also, look quick for Rita Moreno, who would go on to be in West Side Story. She plays...
She's the girl that Zelda.
Yeah. She's real quick. Mm-hmm. But Rita Moreno, one of the few people to have the EGOT, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Boom. Rita Moreno. I love this movie.
It was great.
What do you give it?
8.5.
I give it a 9.
Damn, from Justine?
9.5.
I'm going to give it
almost perfect.
I give it a 9. It's almost, yeah. I don't know why I would hold back and not give it a 10.
I know.
But I'm giving it a 9 just because I think the 10s are...
You got to save it for that
There
one.
Might be a 10 today. There might be a 10 on this show today.
Oh.
You like Casablanca that much.
Wait, can I get another fact out before you move on? I know so much about this movie.
Yes.
get another fact out. So you know at the end when they're both looking at the billboard?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's the painting of him and then her.
Don Lockwood.
So the reason for that was they cut a scene. They cut a whole song in a scene, and that's why that part shows up like that.
Oh.
There's a part where she's looking at a billboard and singing about him. She's fangirling about him.
You see that in the extended, they do the whole
Thing.
Yeah,
so they added it in because they were like, oh, we already have the song. And I guess it was in the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But it's because they cut that whole scene. Ah, I feel like I'm better.
You are my lucky star. Listen, guys, I love this movie. Watch it. Even if you don't like musicals, give it a shot because it's a little...
Visually, it's beautiful.
It's very meta for the time because it literally is talking about what's going on right like
at
the time.
That's very interesting that early on, that it's a movie about movie making and it's people who live through it. It's people who
Oh,
I have another one.
Yes, go
so
ahead.
The costume designer that did the movie said that this was harder to costume design for than Casablanca because they said that that time people still knew what the trend was, so they had to be a little bit more detailed and they had to make sure everything was perfect. It's so like, they said it was harder.
It's like when I watch an 80s movie now, and I was like, nope, they didn't wear that then. Nope. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like I've said, like our version of the 50s is, it wouldn't have been the entire 1950s, you know, the leather jacket and the poodle skirt. That might have been late 50s or whatever, but they wouldn't have been wearing that in like 1952 because you're still getting out of the 40s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then I guess they did mess up on the stock footage they have of New York, the city, when they're going to their little premiere.
Yeah.
There's a movie that's showing there that's not correct to the time.
That happens sometimes.
That happens a lot.
In your stock footage. That's okay. Right, I'm not mad about it. Let's talk about it, guys.
Casablanca.
Are you ready?
Casablanca.
One of my all-time favorites.
Yes, it's a good movie.
So I just like to say all the famous lines from this movie.
A lot.
I was sitting there going like, because it's the first time I've actually sat down and watched all of Casablanca.
Uh-huh.
So every time one of those lines popped up, like, we'll always have Paris.
I know that.
Or, you know, all that fun stuff. I was like, yeah, great. I know these lines. And it just seems like I've never heard this before.
What are you talking about?
And I'm like, what the hell? You've heard this all the time. They use it all the time.
There was a time where this
what
movie.
What nationality are you? I'm a drunkard.
There was a time when this movie was said to have spawned more lines into like the common vernacular than any other movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let me give you, this is from 1942. So like World War II is happening while this movie is made.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's remember that. Rick Blaine, who owns a nightclub in Casablanca, discovers his old flame, Ilsa, is in town with her husband, Victor. Laszlo is a famed rebel, and with the Germans on his tail, Ilsa knows Rick can help get them out of the country. It is directed by Michael Curtiz. It was released in January of 1943. And it gave featured a song, a little song you might know, called As Time Goes By. So what did you think of this movie? Let's start with, had you seen this movie before, Jake?
I have seen it. I did see it.
What did you think of this one?
I thought it was great. It's had a great story, acting. I forget the name of the guy who played Rick.
Humphrey Bogart.
I forget the name. I'm really bad at the actor's name.
That's
sorry.
That's like the one name you
I'm
never
sorry.
Forget.
I forget the name of the guy that plays Indiana Jones. Yeah, what's his name?
Humphrey Bogart.
Jared Ford. Or something. No, but Humphrey Bogart was great. I mean, even all the extras, I thought were really well done.
They really did a good job of casting people who had a certain look. And there's a lot of faces that like a lot
there's
of
a lot of recognizable faces in there. I don't remember the actor's name. The guy who was like pickpocketing everybody. His face looked familiar.
Was funny. Oh, just the guy that I don't know his name.
His voice is familiar.
There was also Rick. Hide me, Rick. Ugarte was Peter Lorre.
Yeah, Peter Lorre.
Oh yeah, the guy that had that got shot.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Yeah, that's Peter Lorre.
There
was another guy that was picking up.
But
Peter Lorre
is like he's the guy that you see in what is it called? He's the mad scientist in
Frankenstein.
No,
Dr. Jekyll.
Animated. Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah. He's always like, hello, Rick.
He's in all of those, and they use his likeness and his voice.
That's
it's
what
a Bunny. Yeah, he's like, come here, Bunny.
That's why you recognize
Go to sleep, Bunny.
Yeah.
Hide me, Rick. Hide me.
It was so good.
Now do you think more of me, Rick?
Oh,
I love that.
So
I love it.
Peter Lorre's great. Peter Lorre and Humphrey Bogart were teamed up a lot, probably most famously in Maltese Falcon. But he's not in it a lot, but he's great in it because he kind of sets everything in going. He sets everything going. Such a great cast. Everybody was good in it.
Claude Rains was fantastic
as Chief Louis Renault.
Yeah,
so good.
Of the free, or no, the Vichy French. Yeah. So, well, we won't go into it yet. We won't get scores yet.
Yeah. Justine, and you gotta love a good love story too.
Yeah, right. Gotta Justine, what did you think of this? Had you seen it before?
No, it was my first time seeing it and hearing any of those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
It doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
You hear that stuff all the time.
I've heard that all the time.
We'll always have Paris.
I've never.
That
is
like
so
one
I'm
of
like,
the most famous lines ever.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
This is the beginning
never
of a beautiful
heard
friendship.
That. If someone were to say it to me, I'd be like, "Okay, yeah, I guess. I guess we are."
You know what? I wouldn't have known it would have been from Casablanca, but I have like. Even before seeing it, I have heard those.
But you've
names
heard
before.
Them.
I've heard
right?
them before, and yeah, I know like that's not from a movie.
In pop culture and stuff.
It's yeah. not. It's not too late to get out of this patch. She's not telling you she loves you. She's never heard these common phrases.
8 years. It's too late. My youth has been wasted on her. It's over.
Of all the gin joints and all the. Yeah,
she had to walk into mine. How do you not know that one?
There's been variations of it.
Because so many people want to say that.
Well, no, because they do it. They do kind of variations on those.
I'll probably watch some of my old movies and people will quote it and I'll be like, oh, that's from Casablanca.
Yeah.
I was just,
otherwise, I'm
I
like.
I got so like infuriated just that she's like not getting as excited about these lines because I'm like, I know that one. I know that
Frankly,
one.
Scarlet, I don't give a
damn.
I know that one.
I'm just kidding.
So go ahead. What did you think, Justine?
What?
I liked it. It was good. It was good.
What do you mean it was good? What was wrong? What's wrong?
I was just going to say, I don't think I liked it as much as most people. He actually bothered me a lot, Humphrey Bogart.
Why?
She doesn't like it when he smiles.
So from the start of the movie...
Because he doesn't... Well, he doesn't smile in this movie. So
he does. And when he does, it's fucking creepy.
Oh, only when they're in Paris.
Yeah.
The very start of the movie, I was like, this guy, like, he's so much like the guy from Sabrina. And it kept playing, and I was like, God, I hate this guy. He looks just like the guy from Sabrina.
Oh, you mean the guy from Sabrina looks like the guy from Sabrina?
So I had to look it up. I'm like, oh, that's why I just do not care
the
for
the older
this
brother.
Guy. Yeah.
He's the older brother. He's William Holden. William Holden's older brother.
See, but you know, I have something against him because I already knew he didn't like Audrey Hepburn, and I've already didn't like that guy because of that.
Oh, movie. He didn't like Audrey? I didn't know he didn't like Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, just like how Gene Kelly didn't want Debbie Reynolds in the movie. Same thing. So that's how I felt about him. So when I saw him, I was a little irritated. And then they did the...
Women know how to hold a grudge.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you can't separate...
Say one bad thing about one of them and the rest of them try and attack you.
Then they did the Paris scene and I was like, ew, is he smiling? Is he trying to smile?
It's such like a slow crawl to
it
his
was
face.
Like a...
Where he's like...
It was so ugly. I was like, I hate this guy's smile. I hate his teeth. I hate watching him. I don't know why she would like
him. He's great.
He is pretty good, though.
Yeah, he's good.
He's great at being cynical in this movie.
Yeah.
Very so cynical. Aside from...
But he played the same character as Sabrina.
So, Humphrey Bogart's always Humphrey Bogart. He's one of those actors. He's always...
It's not Humphrey Bogart playing Rick. It's Humphrey Bogart playing Humphrey Bogart.
And yeah. It kind of reminded me of, and I told you, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I said his where character reminds me of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, where very do you cynical, think the aesthetic world comes from? Weary. And you see a lot of musical cues, like every time the Nazis show up and it's like, dun, 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 dun. It's like, it's totally, that's where Spielberg got the idea for, because the Nazis always have like this really dramatic music every time they show up.
So I like this movie because of, we've been watching all these old movies. So this movie was such a step up for me to watch. And seeing all the extras were a lot better.
Acting
is just,
The dialogue. Like, the
dialogue
is impeccable.
All felt genuine.
It's very adult. There's a lot of stuff going on because it's people basically trying to save their life by any means necessary.
Yeah. So, and I felt for other characters. It was it was a great movie.
You saw Mr. Gower?
The gambling scene?
Yeah, Mr. Gower's in it.
He shows up.
Yeah.
From It's a Wonderful Life. Nothing. Yeah. See.
Go ahead, sir.
I fucking loved it. I have, like I said, I've seen bits and pieces. I've never watched the whole thing, and I enjoyed every single second of it. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You had seen it before, though?
Parts.
Okay.
Not all of it.
What did you like best about it?
The character Humphrey Bogart played was just, he was so good in that movie. It was amazing. I loved every, the scene, the set design, the story was fantastic. The cinematography, the way it looked. That plane scene, which you've seen 1,000 times, yeah, was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And
well
just,
lit.
Just the way it ended.
Did you know that there's little people in the background?
I did not.
Go back and watch it again. That plane is like a scaled down model. Oh, so no. To make it look like a full size plane, really? There's actually little people.
Oh,
like,
my God. Oh,
wow. Once you see it, you'll always notice it.
You can't unsee it.
But
I didn't
you're
notice.
Not paying attention in the background. Yeah.
I didn't read any trivia, so I don't know anything.
Yeah. You didn't read any, this is the movie
you
to read trivia about.
In,
yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, we just watched it, so I didn't have the time to do it.
Oh, man. There's so many stories about this. Like, them, you know, one of the famous stories is them literally pages of the script coming in like the day of, like you're shooting certain scenes, and it's like they were writing this movie as like they didn't even have an ending yet, and they were, you know, so some of those stories are true, some are apocryphal, but John always brings up the point that people didn't expect this movie to be as big as it became. They, mm-hmm. you know, Hollywood was cranking out movies like this all the time.
Oh,
it was... it's just that this movie really, the dialogue and everything kind of steps it up, and you have so many great people in it. Like even the smaller parts that you don't think are gonna be that you know,
impactful.
They still have people that like the one that always gets me is the girl who she comes to Rick and
the young girl,
the young girl, and she's like,
because you see her throughout the movie, like
yeah, you
from the start,
yeah, yeah,
she's in the background. That's one of the first things I noticed. I was like, they're important for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know why.
And then she comes up and she tells Rick, you know, if you were with a woman and she really loved you and she did a very bad thing, but she did it because she loves you. And he right away he knows. He's like, it's Louis. It's like Louis. That's one of my favorite lines when he goes. He's like, why are you always breaking up my little romances? And then Humphrey Bogart's like, chalk it up as a gesture to love. Like, that's such a great line. But he his Louis's so good because he's playing both sides of the table,
right?
Yes.
So there, the whole story is Casablanca is basically it's unoccupied France,
right?
But the government is,
well, it's in Africa, and
yeah, it's pro soil. it's a colony, yeah, so it's French soil, but they're kind of pro-Nazi. But here's one thing that makes no sense, and this is how good the movie is because you don't care. So the letters of transit, they say these letters of transit are signed by General de Gaulle. General de Gaulle was the French, he was the leader of the French army, you know, he was the commander of the French forces. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that a Nazi would honor like a transit. It'd be like saying in the South, like if you get captured, well, Ulysses S. Grant signed these papers that I can
so
get.
Go.
They're
okay,
like, who cares? You're in the South. Like, we're going to capture you.
Right.
So they could have just, and there's no reason they wouldn't, if they knew Laszlo escaped from a concentration camp, he's a German prisoner, they could have just arrested him. They could. It doesn't
yeah,
matter where he
they
is.
They would have just taken him.
But the movie's so good that you don't even think about any of that. You're
and
just like.
You watch it too, at the end, like the papers, who gives a shit? Nothing
yeah,
happened with it.
It really,
they got on the plane.
They got on the plane, that's it. Like it really didn't matter in the end.
No.
Like it was all about, it's all about the decision of whether he was going to
exactly,
let her go or if he was going to get him. Did you think, Justine, did you think he was going to let her go with Victor Laszlo, or did you think he was going to ditch Laszlo? And...
I thought he was going to go and ditch the girl to pay like a payback thing.
Oh, really? That
like,
would have been that
like,
would've
bitch,
been...
you left me, my turn. Like,
yeah.
I honestly
he goes
thought
by himself.
Taking Laszlo, let's go.
I honestly thought that was the end of the movie because I was trying to remember what happens in the end. I know there's a plane, there's a girl. Oh, he leaves her. Oh, yes, and I got excited. So it was okay at the end.
You, what did you think? Did you think he was gonna? What did you think he was?
Oh, I
do?
Thought he was gonna put them both on the plane.
Yeah, you thought so.
Because I mean, it just from watching the movie, you realized he had to make
oh,
the right
was.
Decision at some point.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that's what he was getting to. And so when he's like, "Yeah, you and I'll both leave," I'm like, "He's not going anywhere."
Did you? Let me ask you a question, and answer me honestly, Jake.
Yes.
You choose your Ilsa, who, by the way, Ingrid Bergman in this movie is absolutely
beautiful.
Gorgeous, beautiful,
yeah.
Just beautiful.
Just
the way
didn't
she's
give
lit.
A shit.
The way
but
she's lit.
She was beautiful.
They always, yeah, I now that I think about it, they always had her in like perfect light.
Yeah, yeah, she's always so.
They do that to all the girls, though. They make
yeah.
them
one
all
of the first
dreamy.
Comments right. she makes is she's not that pretty.
No, no.
I was like, oh, she's supposed to be the main girl.
I want you to revisit
this. She was wait, like, wait, she's wait. Not that pretty. I'm
I
like,
want you to revisit
She's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah,
I was so mad.
So who,
Ilsa
if
or?
You're Ilsa,
yeah.
who do you pick? You pick Laszlo or do you pick Rick?
Rick.
You pick, you go,
Done.
You end up with Rick?
Done.
Who do you pick?
Laszlo, she already had her heart was already there. He was just the side bitch. Yeah, she broke his heart, but it was a fling. You go back to the person that changed you.
What about
That's
you?
What happened.
What about you, Patrick? Who do you go with? You stay with Rick or
Bogart?
Yeah, you stay with Bogart? Yeah, you go Bogart.
Yeah. He doesn't ever have to smile, but you know.
Hey man, I love. That's another line I love. He's like, it's like, what did he say? You wore. He goes, I remember that day well. You wore blue. The Germans wore gray. I love that line. Yes. Such a great line.
You know what? What's his name? Laszlo had her heart, but Rick stole it. So
I'll tell you what, though. You know what scene to this day gives me like puts a lump in my throat. Is when the Germans are singing, and he gets up and he's like,
"Oh, he just starts singing Playing
La Marseillaise." That in actuality, a lot of the people who were the extras had escaped Nazi Germany, and they said that when they filmed that scene, a lot of the actors were like in tears.
Yeah, I thought
afterwards.
I read that the Nazis were German Jews.
Yeah, they had all escaped. The guy who plays the main can't think of his name right now. I wish I had something in front of me. He had actually been in German. He was a German film star.
That was a powerful scene.
Yeah. I love that scene.
It's a great scene. I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, especially with the
Conrad Veidt.
Especially with the French girl realizing she's being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
She starts bawling like a baby. I'm like, damn.
Vive la France.
Yeah. Man, that scene always gets me. He's like, he just gets up. But I love it. He tells them to play it, and they look at Rick. And Rick's like, play.
I love that part.
Yeah, they look at him still. They're
he
like,
has that power.
Yeah,
we
like,
have permission, right?
He's still the man.
Give it to him.
But I love it. Rick, even though he's like, I stick my neck out for no one, he still hates the Nazis. He's still like.
He says he's sick.
He's been sticking his neck
out for
everyone.
When he rigs the table?
Oh, my God.
I love that part. Bet on 22.
Take your winnings and get out.
Do it again.
Now take your winnings and get out.
That was so awesome.
And the
staring at the I forget what they call him.
What about when he kicks the banker out in the beginning? He's like I've gambled in better places than here.
He's like
your money's good at the bar, but
and
nowhere
you're lucky
else.
It's good there.
Yeah. And the guy just leaves.
Oh, so good.
Yep. He kind of still sticking it to the
man.
Oh
yeah, no, he said he chose no sides, but he definitely chose sides. Yeah.
What about the great Sidney Greenstreet? Not a big part in here. He's also in the Maltese Falcon, but he's the fat guy who runs the other competing
bar.
I thought
he was great. They're all great.
Yeah, everybody's so good in this movie.
Every single actor was fantastic.
Agreed.
I love when Sam's like, please don't. And Sam, like the relationship between them is very refreshing because Sam
for the time that's
for
a surprise,
time, but still has to call him boss.
Yeah,
which
that
is like,
part I didn't like.
Like
but
why?
For the time,
like,
okay, you were surprised that his best friend is African American.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you know, like if Sam comes with a place, these guys stay. He looked out for his guy. He's like, he stays. You pay him this much.
Yeah, which was really cool.
Yeah, basically gets him a raise.
Yeah, he's like, Sam got him a raise. He's like, I know he gets 10%, but 25 is fine.
Yeah. He's like, okay, you keep it, and then I love it. Ugh.
You could not hate his character. Mm-mm. There's no way.
It's just like you can't hate Louis, even though he's playing both sides.
He's a dick, but he's so just like he flips back and forth, but ultimately his decisions he's making are for the right reason.
He's super charming. And I love how he acts dumb with the Germans. He's like, well, I can't. Oh, what do you mean? Like, whatever do you mean? And of course, everybody's favorite scene is when.
Very passively resisting.
After they sing the La Marseillaise, he says, shut this place down now. He's like, under what pretense? He's like, the Nazis will just shut this place down. And he's like,
why are you shutting us down? There's gambling in this establishment.
Like, I'm shocked to find this gambling.
Here's
here.
Your winning, sir.
He's like, thank you. And then puts it in his pocket.
Really, their relationship is great.
It feels like a very contemporary movie.
Yes.
It feels very modern, very contemporary. And I think that's what you're saying, Justine. It doesn't feel stagey like the Frankenstein movies that we've watched.
It felt like
a very modern film.
I even told him. Like, I was like, wow, I feel really classy watching this. I felt like I was dressed up with them, and we were just going to this place. I was like, wow, all of us are all dressed up.
We're going to exotic Casablanca.
You're doing like your PJs and you still feel all
fancy. Yeah, I was like, wow, I'm fancy.
And
right
I love to find out that that's why it was called Casablanca. It was just the location.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That was so cool.
Which is the airport's like the Van Nuys airport.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's believable that a guy would still be hurt over a girl when in like years pass. I mean,
it wasn't that long. He was 1939. So it's 2 or 3 years.
Now that really bothered me.
So, you know,
heartless.
I'm like, why are you treating so this girl?
They didn't even know each other for that long. And he's like, will you marry
me?
He was like, he had his heart
watching
set.
Watching that whole thing, I was like.
She doesn't get it. She doesn't get it.
Sometimes you fall in love with a girl like that.
Yeah.
What if you're that girl for somebody? hint, hint.
It's just so
She'll
weird.
Never understand.
And, I just and then a Nazi enters. Dun, 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 dun. All right. Just, scores.
Blah, 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 blah.
Jake.
Like an 8, 8.5.
Justine.
I base mine on if I will watch it ever again. So I give it a 6.
You give Casablanca a 6?
I will give it a 6
she'll
and a
watch
half.
It, she'll you watch it the, 6 times.
You are the PJ of this
like
podcast.
Like a 4.
Yeah.
You guys want her?
Yeah.
I just
she
don't
comes,
think...
She comes with the place.
Not anymore.
I like rating mine by if I will watch it over again, and I just don't think
she
I will.
She was getting 25%, but give her 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. What do you got? What do you got, Patrick?
I give this a 10.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm going to have to go 10.
I enjoyed every second of this. I was surprised. It is definitely something I'm willing to watch a lot more often now.
This movie always ends up in the final, like the top three of the greatest Hollywood movies, along with like Gone with the Wind. And I like it way better than Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind is like just 3 hours.
A
too
better
long.
Story told in half the time.
Yeah.
But you're right. Everything about it is impeccable.
And I can quote more lines from this than I can from Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, frankly, Patrick,
that's
I
the only one you know.
Damn. Yep. I don't know any others.
This one you could go, hide me, Rick. Hide me.
It was
do something.
Funny movie.
What do you want me to do?
Fun fact, when we had my dog, Ricky, I would sometimes hold him by the head and go, hide me, Rick. Hide me. By the way, Peter Lorre is the voice. That's Ren. It's Ren Howick from Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
That's who's
Stimpy
voice.
Stimpy, lead.
Yeah, yeah. That's who he's doing is Peter. That's Peter Lorre. How are we doing on time, Ren? 56. It's only 56 minutes?
Only 56 minutes.
Wow, we're going to do four hours
Stimpy,
today.
Stimpy, idiot.
Oh.
God, I loved
Casablanca. Was fantastic. I want to watch it again.
You know what? I give it a 9. 9.5.
You're going to go 9?
I'll go 9.
Renee, have you seen Casablanca? Yeah.
Actually, no. I will stick at my 6.5.
Go when you're with your girlfriend this weekend.
And
watch
everyone
it
will like
I know
you
she's,
less
she's
for
seen
it.
Singing in the Rain, and she likes.
No, fuck Singing
every,
in the Rain.
Every morning. She calls me.
Renee.
She calls me and sings the good morning song.
Fuck.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's adorable.
Good morning.
But well, fuck Singing
like,
in the Rain.
I told you why I like that song. Or why I didn't realize that was from a movie. I thought my mom made it up.
No.
She used to sing it to me when I was little.
Oh, okay.
When I was getting up in the morning, she had to wake me up. She'd mm-hmm. just start singing it. I'm like, oh.
Good
my mom just morning. Like had this really good tune to her
I
song.
I will see Casablanca.
Watch yeah, it with her this weekend.
It. Yeah, I watch it. I'll watch it. I'll rent it. And I'll rent it like on Vudu. Or something. Watch it.
Hey, I think it'll work. It's a shit. You know, it may be crazy, but we're gonna do it. The Dooming
Cavalier
is now a musical.
Princess Leia's mom, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that she was 19 when she filmed that?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
she was
when Princess
Miss Pasadena.
Leia did it, she was 19 also when
that's
she started
it.
Doing it.
What
so,
a lovely morning.
Here we go. Ready?
Seen a lot.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Everybody's heads are bobbing back. Man, I'm going to go home and watch that right now. I just watched it. Well, let's watch it again.
It just makes you happy. It's just a happy movie.
Donald Lockwood.
And I like the way she's portrayed in that movie, the girl, because Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
She's so awesome.
Yeah, because she talks back to him. It's just great.
That's great.
She's not a typical, like, 50s or 20s girl.
Exactly. No. She wasn't like, oh, my gosh.
She kind of was, but...
But not.
Yeah.
No, she
still
but
not would
really.
Make witty remarks and.
I like that she saw his arm around her and she just took him down a notch. Like
yeah.
No. Like, no.
Even though
definitely...
she liked, and that was kind of funny about her character too, is even though she really likes Don Lockwood and all that fun stuff, she still was like, yeah, no, you can't do that. I'm gonna knock the shit out of you and be like, you're nothing.
Oh,
that's why I appreciate them knocking out that scene of her fangirling over him. I'm glad they knocked that out because it's
that just reminded me of another great line in Casablanca when Rick says another great the way they get around saying certain things is when Rick says last night your wife came to visit me and she tried to convince me that she was still in love with me or that she still had feelings for me. I let her convince me or whatever, something like that. Just
pretended to let her convince me.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, just so you know.
And even then he did that to, you know, help out Laszlo. He's like, you know what, I'm still doing this for the right reason.
Yeah.
God.
I like that they didn't get in a fight either. They're just like, yeah, we like the same girl. Remember I told you that? right in the beginning of it, I was like, oh, this guy's supposed to be so smart and witty. How does he not realize that his wife likes this guy?
And then he says it later.
And then he said it, and I was like, oh, he is smart. I love
him. He is smart. But that's the thing. He's willing to put that aside, and he's got a bigger cause, so he can't be arguing
and
about.
And even then he understood, because he's like, she thought I was dead.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, he's great.
Victor Laszlo. Cool, yeah. He's a good guy.
Victor Laszlo.
He's not cute, but... I mean, when
we
you
didn't
do
like the scar,
he looks
right
pretty
here.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you're
yeah.
between the two, I still think
the
it
man
makes sense
survived
that
a German concentration camp.
Yeah, he escaped.
Yeah, that's
escape.
That's pretty awesome.
Letters of transit cannot be rescinded by anyone.
Oh, so good.
Hide me, Rick.
And that, you know what? The other reason that movie was really good is it even for being an old movie, I've noticed older movies tend to drag on a little bit because
this one didn't.
It was over in a flash. And yep. I'm just like, that was fantastic.
From the beginning, they set it up. This is what you need to know. Here's where we are. People are waiting.
There's no superfluous travel scenes. Nope. Nothing
Mighty
like
Joe
that.
Mighty Joe Young. Forever.
It did take forever.
Even though it was only 84 minutes
yeah,
long.
It was like, it was shorter than La Casablanca, and it felt twice as long.
The beginning of Casablanca, though, I had a really hard time keeping up with how fast they were talking.
Oh, yeah, they do talk.
I told them, I'm like, I'm so glad we're watching this on this little screen with my subtitles, because they're talking way too fast.
There's a really great movie called His Girl Friday with Cary Grant, and they've remade it like 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
What is it called?
His Girl Friday. Like My Man Friday.
Whose girl?
His Girl.
Okay. Never heard of that.
It's great. It's really funny comedy, but the dialogue is like, they are talking super, like the whole, what that movie's known for.
If we were to watch this on the big screen and I wouldn't have subtitles, I wouldn't know what happened at all in the very beginning. I was just, they talked too fast. They slowed it down later, but it took too long.
Monsieur Rick. I loved it. Sell me your bar. I think someone said that he was like the inspiration for Jabba the Hutt, like Sidney Greenstreet. Like, that's supposed to be the inspiration. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. If you've never seen Casablanca, go check it out. It's one of the, we spoil it for you, you still love it. You'll still love it.
70 years later.
Yeah. You've had 70 years to watch
it. If you haven't watched it since, you know.